Chapter 126. Descriptive of an affecting interview between Mr. Samuel Weller and a family party. Mr. Pickwick makes a tour of the diminutive world he inhabits, and resolves to mix with it, in future, as little as possible. A few mornings after his incarceration, Mr. Samuel Weller, having arranged his master's room with all possible care, and seen him comfortably seated over his books and papers, withdrew to employ himself for an hour or two to come, as he best could. It was a fine morning, and it occurred to Sam that a pint of porter in the open air would lighten his next quarter of an hour or so, as well as any little amusement in which he could indulge. Having arrived at this conclusion, he betook himself to the tap. Having purchased the beer, and obtained, moreover, the day but one before yesterday's paper, he repaired to the skittle ground, and seating himself on a bench, proceeded to enjoy himself in a very sedate and methodical manner. First of all, he took a refreshing draught of the beer, and then he looked up at a window, and bestowed a platonic wink on the young lady who was peeling potatoes thereat. Then he opened the paper, and folded it so, as to get the police reports outwards. And this being a vexatious and difficult thing to do, when there is any wind stirring, he took another draught of the beer, when he had accomplished it. Then, he read two lines of the paper, and stopped short to look at a couple of men who were finishing a game at rackets, which, being concluded, he cried out "Wery good," apostrophe in an approving manner, and looked round upon the spectators, to ascertain whether their sentiments coincided with his own. This involved the necessity of looking up at the windows also, and as the young lady was still there, it was an act of common politeness to wink again, and to drink to her good health in dumb show, in another draught of the beer, which Sam did, and having frowned hideously upon a small boy who had noted this latter proceeding with open eyes, he threw one leg over the other, and, holding the newspaper in both hands, began to read in real earnest. He had hardly composed himself into the needful state of abstraction, when he thought he heard his own name proclaimed in some distant passage. Nor was he mistaken, for it quickly passed from mouth to mouth, and in a few seconds the air teemed with shouts of "Weller! Apostrophe apostrophe here! Apostrophe apostrophe!" roared Sam, in a stentorian voice. "What's the matter? Who wants him? Has an express come to say that his country house is afire? Apostrophe apostrophe, somebody wants you in the hall," apostrophe said a man who was standing by. "Just mind that ear paper and the pot, old feller, will you?" apostrophe apostrophe said Sam. "I may come in. Blessed, if they was a callin' me to the bar, they couldn't make more noise about it." Apostrophe apostrophe, accompanying these words with a gentle rap on the head of the young gentleman before noticed, who, unconscious of his close vicinity to the person in request, was screaming "Weller!" Apostrophe apostrophe with all his might, Sam hastened across the ground, and ran up the steps into the hall. Here, the first object that met his eyes was his beloved father sitting on a bottom stair, with his hat in his hand, shouting out "Weller!" apostrophe apostrophe in his very loudest tone, at half-minute intervals. "What are you a-roarin' at?" apostrophe apostrophe said Sam impetuously, when the old gentleman had discharged himself of another shout, "making yourself so precious hot, that you looks like a aggravated glass blower. What's the matter?" apostrophe aha. Apostrophe apostrophe replied the old gentleman, "I began to be afeared that you'd gone for a walk round the Regency Park, Sammy." Apostrophe, "come, apostrophe," said Sam, "none o' them taunts a gin the wictim o' avarice, and come off that ear step. What are you a settin' down there for? I don't live there." Apostrophe, "I've got such a game for you, Sammy," apostrophe said the elder Mr. Weller, rising. "Stop a minute," apostrophe said Sam, "you're all right behind." Apostrophe, "that's right, Sammy, rub it off," apostrophe said Mr. Weller, as his son dusted him. It might look personal here, if a man walked about with vitivash on his clothes, eh, Sammy? ... as Mr. Weller exhibited in this place unequivocal symptoms of an approaching fit of chuckling, Sam interposed to stop it. "Keep quiet, do," said Sam. "There never was such a old picter card born. What are you busting with now?" "Sammy," said Mr. Weller, wiping his forehead. "I'm afeard that one o' these days I shall laugh myself into a apoplexy, my boy." "Well then, what do you do it for?" said Sam. "Now then, what have you got to say?" "Who do you think's come here with me, Samuel?" said Mr. Weller, drawing back a pace or two, pursing up his mouth, and extending his eyebrows. "Pell?" said Sam. Mr. Weller shook his head, and his red cheeks expanded with the laughter that was endeavoring to find a vent. "Mottled-faced man, p'raps?" asked Sam. Again Mr. Weller shook his head. "Who then?" asked Sam. "Your mother-in-law," said Mr. Weller, and it was lucky he did say it, or his cheeks must inevitably have cracked from their most unnatural distension. "Your mother-in-law, Sammy," said Mr. Weller, "and the red-nosed man, my boy, and the red-nosed man. Ho, ho, ho." With this, Mr. Weller launched into convulsions of laughter, while Sam regarded him with a broad grin gradually overspreading his whole countenance. "They've come to have a little serious talk with you, Samuel," said Mr. Weller, wiping his eyes. "Don't let out nothing about the unnatural creditor, Sammy."
"What, don't they know who it is?"
Inquired Sam. "Not a bit on it," replied his father. "Fear are they?" said Sam, reciprocating all the old gentleman's grins. "In the snuggery," rejoined Mr. Weller. "Catch the red-nosed man a goin' any veer, but veer the liquors is. Not he, Samuel, not he. Be it a worry pleasant ride along the road from the Marcus this morning, Sammy," said Mr. Weller, when he felt himself equal to the task of speaking in an articulate manner. "I drove the old people in that ere little shay cart as belonged to your mother-in-law's first winter, into which a harm cheer was lifted for the shepherd. And I'm blessed," said Mr. Weller, with a look of deep scorn, "I'm blessed if they didn't bring a portable flight o' steps out into the road a front o' our door for him to get up by."
"You don't mean that?"
said Sam. "I do mean that, Sammy," replied his father, "and I wish you could ha' seen how tight he held on by the sides when he did get up, as if he was afeard o' being precipitated down full 6 foot, and dashed into a million atoms. He tumbled in at last, however, and away we went, and I rayther think, Samuel, that he found hisself a little jolted when we turned the corners.
What, I suppose you happened to drive up a gin a post or two?"
said Sam. "I'm afeard," replied Mr. Weller, "in a rapture of winks I'm afeard I took one or two on them, Sammy. He was a flying out o' the armchair all the way."
Here the old gentleman shook his head from side to side, and was seized with a hoarse internal rumbling, accompanied with a violent swelling of the countenance, and a sudden increase in the breadth of all his features, symptoms which alarmed his son not a little.
"Don't be frightened, Sammy, don't be frightened," said the old gentleman, when by dint of much struggling, and various convulsive stamps upon the ground, he had recovered his voice. "It's only a kind o' quiet laugh as I may tryin' to come, Sammy."
"Well, if that's what it is," said Sam, "you'd better not try to come at a gin. You'll find it rather a dangerous invention."
"Don't you like it, Sammy?" Inquired the old gentleman.
"Not at all," replied Sam. Well, apostrophe said Mr. Weller, with the tears still running down his cheeks, it ud ha been a worry great accommodation to me, if I could ha done it, and ud ha saved a good many vorts atween your mother-in-law and me, sometimes. But I'm afeard you're right, Sammy, it's too much in the apoplexy line a deal too much, Samivel. Apostrophe, this conversation brought them to the door of the snuggery, into which Sam, pausing for an instant, to look over his shoulder, and cast a sly leer at his respected progenitor, who was still giggling behind, at once led the way. Mother-in-law, apostrophe said Sam, politely saluting the lady, worry much obliged to you for this here visit. Shepherd, how are you? Apostrophe, oh, Samuel. Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mrs. Weller. This is dreadful. Apostrophe, not a bit on it, Mum, apostrophe replied Sam. Is it, Shepherd? Apostrophe, Mr. Stiggins raised his hands, and turned up his eyes, until the whites or rather the yellows were alone visible, but made no reply in words. Is this here gentleman troubled with any painful complaint? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Sam, looking to his mother-in-law for explanation. The good man is grieved to see you here, Samuel, apostrophe replied Mrs. Weller. Oh, that's it, is it? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Sam. I was afeard, from his manner, that he might have forgotten to take pepper with that ere last cowcomer he eat. Set down, sir, we make no extra charge for settin' down, as the king remarked when he blowed up his ministers. Apostrophe, young man, apostrophe said Mr. Stiggins ostentatiously, I fear you are not softened by imprisonment. Apostrophe, beg your pardon, sir, apostrophe replied Sam, what woes you graciously pleased to observe? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I apprehend, young man, that your nature is no softer for this chastening, apostrophe said Mr. Stiggins, in a loud voice. Sir, apostrophe replied Sam, you're worry kind to say so. I hope my matter is not a soft one, sir. Worry much obliged to you for your good opinion, sir. Apostrophe, at this point of the conversation, a sound, indecorously approaching to a laugh, was heard to proceed from the chair in which the elder Mr. Weller was seated, upon which Mrs. Weller, on a hasty consideration of all the circumstances of the case, considered it her bounden duty to become gradually hysterical. Weller, apostrophe said Mrs. W., the old gentleman was seated in the corner, Weller. Come forth. Apostrophe, worry much obliged to you, my dear, apostrophe replied Mr. Weller, but I'm quite comfortable here I am. Apostrophe, upon this, Mrs. Weller burst into tears. What's gone wrong, Mum? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Sam. Oh, Samuel. Apostrophe, apostrophe replied Mrs. Weller, your father makes me wretched. Will nothing do him good? Apostrophe, do you hear this here? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Sam. Lady Vance to know either nothing'll do you good. Apostrophe, worry much indebted to Mrs. Weller for her polite inquiries. Sammy, apostrophe replied the old gentleman. I think a pipe will benefit me a good deal. Could I be accommodated, Sammy? Apostrophe, here Mrs. Weller let fall some more tears, and Mr. Stiggins groaned. Hollow. Here's this unfortunate gentleman took ill a gin, apostrophe said Sam, looking round. Where do you feel it now, sir? Apostrophe, in the same place, young man, apostrophe rejoined Mr. Stiggins, in the same place. Apostrophe, where may that be, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe inquired Sam, with great outward simplicity. In the bosom, young man, apostrophe replied Mr. Stiggins, placing his umbrella on his waistcoat. At this affecting reply, Mrs. Weller, being wholly unable to suppress her feelings, sobbed aloud, and stated her conviction that the red-nosed man was a saint, whereupon Mr. Weller, Sr., ventured to suggest, in an undertone, that he must be the representative of the United Parishes of St. Simon Without and St. Walker Within. I'm afeard, Mum, apostrophe said Sam, that this here gentleman, with the twist in his countenance, feels rather thirsty, with the melancholy spectacle afore him. Is it the case, Mum? Apostrophe, the worthy lady looked at Mr. Stiggins for a reply. That gentleman, with many rollings of the eye, clenched his throat with his right hand, and mimicked the act of swallowing, to intimate that he was athirst. I am afraid, Samuel, that his feelings have made him so indeed, apostrophe said Mrs. Weller mournfully. What's your usual tap, sir? Apostrophe replied Sam. Oh, my dear young friend, apostrophe replied Mr. Stiggins, all taps is vanities. Apostrophe, too true, indeed, apostrophe said Mrs. Weller, murmuring a groan, and shaking her head assentingly. Well, apostrophe said Sam, I dey say they may be, sir, but which is your particular wanity? Which wanity do you like the flavor on best, sir? Apostrophe, oh, my dear young friend, apostrophe replied Mr. Stiggins, I despise them all. If, apostrophe said Mr. Stiggins, if there is any one of them less odious than another, it is the liquor called rum. Warm, my dear young friend, with 3 lumps of sugar to the tumbler. Apostrophe, worry sorry to say, sir, apostrophe said Sam, that they don't allow that particular wanity to be sold in this here establishment. Apostrophe, Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.